Welcome to For the Love of Dharma. I'm so happy you're here. My name is Heather Love, and I'm one of the first certified Dharma coaches in the world. This podcast will help you be more joyful, remember your purpose, and live life on your terms. Get ready to get inspired. Here we go. Hi, friends. It is Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., so I know many of you will be spending time with friends and family. I hope you make tons of memories and have so much fun and stay safe in the process. And for those of you that have a hard time with the holidays, just know that you are not alone. I know that not everyone enjoys this time of year. If that's you, there's no shame in that, and I encourage you to spend some time doing things that you do enjoy. And don't worry about what anyone else thinks about it. It's none of their business. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode. With Black Friday around the corner, it's the perfect time to bring on today's guest, who refers to himself as John the Sales Warrior. In this conversation, we talk about the energetics of sales, why telling stories is important when selling, how selling is like dating, and how selling from a place of self-love is guaranteed to make you money. It's a little different take on sales, and I think you'll enjoy it. Without further ado, let's welcome John to the show. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely, Heather. Thanks a lot for having me on. Very stoked.
I'm so excited you're here. So the way I like to start my guest episodes is by having you choose either blue or red. I have a blue book and a red book, and I will pick a random question from whichever book you choose.
Ah, okay. I'm going to go with blue.
All right. What type of lifestyle are you trying to create for yourself?
Great question. I'm trying to create a lifestyle that's filled with friends and, caring about things that are bigger than myself. And this is a very short period of time that I'm on this earth. I want to have as much fun as I possibly can.
I'm all about the fun. Everything, I feel like people do not have enough fun in this world. So I'm here for that.
There you go.
So tell me, what was John like as a young child? What was your personality like? What did you like to do as a kid?
You know, it's intriguing because I'm pretty gregarious, but I also spent like a lot of time by myself. I spent a lot of time, particularly when I was younger, you know, like playing with army men or action figures or cars, building stuff. And then and at some point I decided I was an artist. And so I would spend hours upon hours of just like filling sketchbooks with drawings of mine. I spent a lot of alone time. And then I also spent a lot of time like in my analytical mind. And what I mean by that is like some people would watch a movie. Like I remember I watched the movie W.C. Fields, and I wasn't happy with just watching the movie W.C. Fields. I had to get out my Encyclopedia Britannica and learn everything extra that I could learn about W.C. Fields. And then maybe while I was in that Encyclopedia Britannica, there'd be another subject matter that would interest me, and I'd start reading that too. That's kind of how I spent my youth. And then as I got older, I began developing friendships, and I'm kind of a leader. And so a lot of times, like I would bring everybody together. Like I grew up in the 80s. So I'd bring everybody together to a lot of parties. And I was like the party planner. I spearheaded a lot of events. So it's kind of interesting. Like some people are strictly introvert and some people are strictly extrovert. Like you can't pin me as being strictly either. Like I could spend the whole day here reading because I have a lot of books I'm reading right now on my Kindle, or I think I'm going to go to the lake and have lunch and probably meet somebody at the bar where I'm having lunch at. And I can also carry on a conversation with them. So like I can go both. It's intriguing.
I love that. I always say I'm an extroverted introvert. So okay. I totally relate. So do you remember what you wanted to be when you were a kid?
I do. So do you remember the show Bewitched?
I do.
Okay. So Darren Stevens, I thought had the coolest job because I did art and I was like, well, if I have his job, I'll get to do art. I'll have a pretty wife, and I'll also get to work at an ad agency, which to me was like the ultimate, because you get paid to do art. Like, it seemed like he had a really good life. He's living in like a middle-class house. Seems like a nice house, nice friends and a nice neighborhood. I don't know that I put all that together. I think I was basically saying, like, if I have to work the rest of my life or until I retire someday, I wasn't even thinking about the term retirement, but I'm like, if I have to work, I want to work where I can draw and people pay me to draw and pay me to come up with creative ideas.
And I think we all need more creativity in our lives. So I'm all for that. So I know one of the things you do among many things is you have a comedy podcast. So how did you go from wanting to be Darren Star to having a comedy podcast?
Yeah. So I took Brendan Bouchard's course on becoming an authority in your expertise. And three things Brendan said. One, he said, you need to write a book. You need to have a professional course. And then you have to have a way to reach a broader audience. And at first I fought it. I'm like, I kind of am very simplistic in my approach to business. I'm like, do I really want to do a podcast? Do I really want to learn all that? Do I have to worry with the software and the editing and all that? Do I want to put myself through that? Or do I want to just like come on your podcast or somebody else's podcast and promote my stuff? And that's okay, but it doesn't create a community. Like I now have a community that's internationally based. The key is that I have a broad net. So if I just do a podcast on professional selling, I have a very short net. I mean, it's not broad at all. But if I have a comedy podcast, everybody loves comedy. And if they don't, they need to, because it's super healthy for you to laugh. And it's good for your creative mind. I mean, the list goes on and on. So people, you need to embrace comedy. And so how it started, I was walking my dog and I'm like, I'm just going through a series of thoughts. I'm like, okay, I want to do a podcast. Okay, I'm walking my dog. And then I was like, I don't want to do a professional sales podcast because, frankly, I've been doing it 32 years. I get kind of bored with hearing about myself talk about the same thing I've been talking about for 32 years. And so I'm like, comedy, the world is so like in a bad way right now. But then I had to do a gut check. I'm like, I'm not a comedian. I'm like I don't get up on stage and tell a bunch of jokes and people laugh and people are like, oh my God, I got to hang out with John. He is so funny. But then I was like, when you go to a party and you meet somebody for the very first time, how do you really like get to know them? Typically, you tell stories about growing up. Kind of like I'm telling you stories about me growing up. And many times it leads to, oh, you know, we did this in middle school. We did this in high school. We did this in college. And at some point you're like, oh, we did that kind of stuff in high school and college too. And then it always goes to a funny story. And I'm like, I want to bring that to the world. And so my podcast is called Schools Out 80s Comedy Storytime. So I ripped off Alice Cooper, School's Out, 80s, because people are so nostalgic about the 80s. And comedy story time is because that's what it is. It's comedy story time. So I think I'm up to like 300 views on my last podcast.
I love that your podcast has really been started by your love of telling stories, because I think that that's so important with just how people relate to each other and you can like connect with someone. You're like, oh, I went through that, or I have a similar story, and you know, yes. And then that's just how you build those relationships.
People need to laugh. I mean, people are just way too darn serious out there. You know, if I could share anything that's powerful, if it's not too cold outside, just go outside and dump a glass of water on your head and relax a little bit, man. Life is not that tough. You you might need like a little bit of a shock to your typical day, just to let you know that, let your hair down a little bit, man. It's a short life we live and you need to enjoy it, man. I mean, if there's anything I learned from, because I'm kind of a rock and roll historian, Heather, if there's anything I've learned from studying the greats in music, I learned that they live for the day. John Lennon, he lived for the day. Jimi Hendrix, he lived for the day. And both of them came up with like really good sayings. Like Jimi Hendrix used to say, when the power of love overtakes the love of power, then the world will be a better place.
Mm.
That was directly from Jimi Hendrix. And John Lennon used to say, well, they asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, kind of like you asked me. And he said, happy. And the teacher's like, oh, son, I don't think you understand the question. And he goes, I don't think you understand life.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I've heard that quote before, and I love it so much.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's so true.
So how did you go get over your fear of feeling like you weren't funny to now having this comedy podcast? Because I don't feel like I'm funny either. And so like, I would never even attempt to start anything comedy related, but you went ahead and did it.
Yeah, so I knew I had funny stories, and I knew the world needed to hear my funny stories. And so I knew my stories themselves would resonate with people. And so, and then too, like I'm an analytical person and kind of an introverted person. So I started studying comedy. I went back and I studied like the people that are the very best at comedy. So I went and I watched some stand-up shows with people like Robin Williams. I watched some stand-up shows with Chris Rock, Adam Sandler. And so I understand comedy. Like a lot of people don't even know, like it's a formula. And the reason things are funny is because it resonates with you. And if it doesn't resonate with you, you won't find it funny.
Right. Yeah. I've seen comedians who they're talking about things that I just have no life experience. And so I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's funny, but it's not funny to me. When people get up there and talk about parenting, I have two kids and I'm like, oh yeah, I can totally relate to all of that. You know,
it's comedy is formula. And it's timing. It's just like music. Music is both formula, but it's timing. It's also like delivery. Like some people can deliver a song with like a ton of soul to it. Just like some people can play electric guitar with a ton. Like some people are technical guitar players. They can hit all the notes and everything, but there's no soul to it. There's no swing to it. Like a musical term, it's like swing. The tempo, it's got no soul to it. But you get a guitarist that plays with soul, like a Stevie Ray Vaughan, that somebody else could play those same exact notes and it not move you. And you listen to George Harrison's rendition of it, or you listen to Peter Frampton's rendition of it, and you're like, oh my God, that moves me. It's the same way with acting. Like some actors could say a line and it moves you. Another actor can say the same exact line and does nothing for you.
Absolutely. That makes total sense to me. Now you have a book on Amazon.
It's called Sales Warrior. And it sounds like it's really hardcore. Like I'm a really hardcore, like beat down salesperson. And I'm like exactly the opposite. I get people to like me and then they buy a ton of stuff from me. And then they refer their friends and family to me because they like me so much and they want to be around me so much. And it's because I care about them too. And I authentically care about them. Like, it's not like I just do it to make money. I really do like care about them. And they realize that most salespeople never get to that level. Mm-hmm. You go out to a car dealership and start looking at cars. You won't find a salesperson that cares about you. You won't have anybody ask you the type of questions that they really need to ask you to get you in the right car. Unfortunately, the things I teach are not taught like they should be. And that was kind of like what inspired me. If you went out to like a great big furniture store today, they would ask you maybe what you're looking for. Are you looking for a table? Are you looking for this? Or you're looking for that? What they should be asking you is what's really going on with your family right now? Because if they found out what was really going on with your family and you got to do it with people skills, they might find that one of your kids, you know, need to move out of the little boy or little girl stuff. And we got to get them a big bedroom set. They might find you hate your bedroom set. But you might just be in there for a kitchen table. But if they really spent the time to get to know you, and one great way to do it would be, hey, tell me about your house. What do you like about your house? Well, what do you like about the furniture that's in your house right now? What don't you like about the furniture that's in your house right now? If you could change something about the furniture in your house, what would you change it to? What would a dream house look like for you? So what are we doing right now? We're painting a vision of possibility. And that's where the big sales are made. A professional salesperson will will show you a path to your desired furniture in your home.
I love that, because I'm just thinking back to times where I've gone places or someone's tried to sell me something and it feels so gross. And like, you do feel like they don't care about me at all. So I would love to talk about the energetics behind sales a little bit more. And if you're trying to sell, whether it's a thing or a service or whatever it may be, how do you build those relationships with someone?
It's dating. You are dating your clients. So they got to like you. And that's what you got to be. You got to be authentic, and you got to create a relationship. You have to have relatability with your prospect. If you do have relatability and they see you no longer as a salesperson, but as another person that relates to them, boom, you can sell a ton of stuff to them and they'll refer your friends to you. You got to be likable. And that's a big thing I teach as well. Like, you got to find a way that other people will like you. And the only way to do that is to have self-love. If you don't have self-love, people will pick up on it. You hear it like what people say. Like, you ask them like, oh, how was your day? Oh, it was okay. You know, blah, blah, blah. You feel like, hey man, they're just a boat in the ocean. And if the wave goes this way, they go that way. If the wave goes that way, they go that way. People don't like to do business with people that are wishy-washy, and, you know, they're hot, they're cold, whatever the environment they're in, they're going to be that way. And they don't have a strong, like, ability to make a choice of what's going on.
I love what you said about authenticity and how it relates to self-love, because I think as a consumer, you get all these red flags when people are trying to sell you something and they just seem fake. So if you are on the other end, and whether you're trying to sell a service or a product, whatever it may be, what are some ways that you can tap into that self-love so that you can show up as your authentic self and really, truly build those relationships with those people?
You know, self-love is so paramount. I would say for anybody who's struggling with self-love, take out a piece of paper and create a vision for yourself. Like, if you did love yourself, as an example, so you ask yourself a broad-based question. If I did love myself, what would that look like? Like, what would I look like if I loved myself? What would I be wearing right now if I loved myself? What would I be doing today if I loved myself? As you ask yourself these good questions, the good answers will happen.
So what do you think about the phrase, fake it till you make it?
I'm okay with it. You know, because your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between a real encounter or a fake encounter. Like most of the people, when you hit a golf ball, they're really nervous. But if before you hit the golf ball, if you hit the golf ball perfectly in your mind, you probably are going to slap the hell out of that golf ball, particularly if you've had proper training. So some people get nervous with interpersonal activity between two people or whatever. But if you do that in your mind first, before you do it, then you're probably going to be comfortable with it. That's the other thing. Like, how do you love yourself? Good self-talk. Just like in business, you have to overcome insecurities that, you know, that you can't do it. I'll tell people, like, erase that from your whole vocabulary. Don't ever say you can't do it. It does you no good. You got to like lighten up the language that you use both outwardly and inwardly to get a better result. Like, why have I been able to be like super successful for 32 years in professional selling? It's because I have good self-talk. Did I start off with amazing self-talk? No. When I first started out, I was so nervous. I would get under so much pressure that this arm right here, the muscle in it would like quiver. I'd be under so much pressure. This arm was physically giving me problems, and I couldn't control it. Like, I can remember like my face quivering. I can remember when I was talking to people that like I wasn't confident. And like you said, fake it till you make it. I used to get up in the morning, go in the office and do my sales pitch to myself and buy from myself. So your friends out there that are doing professional coaching, buy your services from yourself. Do your sales pitch to yourself. Your subconscious mind can't tell the difference. And the endorphins that will crank because you just got to sell, even though it's not real. And the momentum that you'll create in your voice will translate into more business for you. Because it's got to happen up here before it can happen in your pocketbook. It's got to happen in your heart and in your head before it ever is going to hit your bank account. Like, you got to believe I'm a millionaire. You got to believe I can make six figures. You got to believe that you're worthy to do that. And then you got to have a vision for how you're going to enjoy it. Like, it's no fun to make money if you can't spend it. You got to love yourself. You got to have good self-talk, and you got to enjoy life, and you got to always be in a state of growth.
That's super important too.
I mean, I've read 12 books this year. Right now, I'm reading 3 books. So 3 books simultaneously.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if you've done the self-love and, you know, you've worked on your sales pitch and all of that, is there a difference between the energetics of selling a product versus the energetics of selling a service, or is it all one and the same?
All one and the same. The key is asking the right questions, and they call it finding the pain. So most, like, I had this experience on Friday. This guy was trying to pitch me this product, and I wanted to understand, like, are you really an expert in your industry? So I asked him some technical historical questions to see, like, what he was going to share with me. And all he did was talk about his product. He didn't even answer my question. He didn't even act like I asked him a question. That infuriates people when you're not listened to. That alone can differentiate you from the average salesperson, because, like, most salespeople do not listen to their prospects. Most salespeople don't care about their prospects. Most salespeople rush through the process because they're so scared they won't get a sale. They undersell what could be sold. The thing is like, most salespeople are so needy. Like, you're talking about the icky salesperson. The icky salesperson is, like, I have a chapter in my book called Power Selling. The icky salesperson is not a powerful salesperson. A powerful salesperson is somebody who has taken care of so many of their financial obligations, whether you buy it or not, really doesn't matter to them. And they're the one that can sell the most. If this is important to you, and I've actually found a benefit that can solve your problem, then you need to take action.
So you've talked a little bit about what you have in your book. I know you also have a course. What do you teach people in your course?
I teach people the fundamentals of how to sell, but I inspire them to do it. So how do I inspire them to do it? I just have several videos and audios of me being interviewed, like we are right now, that's inspirational in nature. Like, I'm trying to get people to, get out of bed and do something with their lives. And so I inspire them and I give them the tools for inspiration. Like, you know this because you're a professional coach. A lot of people won't write a list of their vision. They won't thoroughly get out a piece of paper and say, I'm trying to do this with my life. I'm trying to do that with my life. Date it and write it out. Written goals are so important. You can't get to a destination you don't have a clear vision for. Your vision has to be specific. It has to be written. You want to have a good vacation? Write a very specific synopsis of the type of vacation that you want. Get yourself a vision for your vacation and then use that as an analogy for your life. That same vision that you had for that 5-day trip, now do a very distinct, very detailed vision for the rest of your life. And maybe break it down, like, this part of my life, I want this. This part of my life, I want that.
And I love what you said about having lists and things you want to do and things you want to have. And I also think it's really important to write out how you want to feel, because I think that having the thing is fantastic. But if you're really focused on how you think that thing is going to make you feel, and that's where your focus lies, then I think maybe the thing isn't what you're really after.
Exactly. People have to understand cognitive emotions. How we think is how we feel. And if we don't feel good, then we got to change our thinking. And a lot of it's just a process. And I know you know this, so this is preaching to the choir. But if you come from a place of gratitude for what you have, then you're going to be in a much better mindset than wondering what the other side of that would be, like, jealousy for what somebody else has. And then negative, nagging thinking of, oh, they have a better house than me. They have a better car than me. They have a better job than me. Who cares? It's irrelevant. It's like if you're standing on your mountain and you're happy with your health, if somebody else is standing on a taller mountain, so what? If you're codependent on something you can't control, you can't be happy. Like, I would even break it down like this. I read this most wonderful book when I was in my early 20s. The title of the book was How to Be Happy. And it was a tiny little book. it wasn't like it was a book like this. It was like almost a pamphlet. And I opened it up and the very first paragraph of it was how to be happy. And then the guy walks you through this. He's like a PhD. And he's like, if you can't be happy with where you are right now. And I was in like a really bad situation. And I'm reading this book. And he's like, if you can't be happy with where you are right now in life, you can't be happy. And that is so true. Just to wake up and be able to breathe is gratitude, man. It's happiness.
Gratitude is absolutely everything in my world, for sure. So this conversation has been so fun. I've learned so much. I would love for you to tell my listeners where they can find you.
I am so easy to find. So I make it so easy. So hit me up on LinkedIn, and it's John Sales Warrior. All one word, John Sales Warrior, and be my LinkedIn connection. You'll get a lot of free stuff because I am constantly posting content. And if you find an interest in what you're hearing today and would like a free copy of my book, then you need to invest in my course. It's an absolute steal. I'm 32 years of professional selling and people skills you can get for $99 to utilize the rest of your life. Get my book for free. And get my Warrior Vision List PDF for free. And every month, get free content from me by being connected to me for the rest of your life or rest of the time I'm on this earth. And you get that by going out to my website, saleswarriorinspire.com. Follow the links, buy the course. I'll know about it. I'll email you the book and I'll email you the Warrior Vision List.
Fantastic. I will link everything in the show notes. Before I let you go, I like to ask my guests 5 rapid fire questions just so my listeners can get to know you a little bit better. It doesn't mean you have to answer quickly, just the first thing that comes to your mind.
Ooh, it sounds scary. Okay.
It's not scary.
I'm so scared.
What is something you do for fun?
I boat and I get professional massages.
All right. If there was an extra hour in each day, what would you spend it doing?
Probably listen to some really good music.
How would your best friend describe you?
Energetic and happy.
All right. If you had chosen a different career path, what would it have been?
A psychologist.
Oh, fascinating. I thought I wanted to be a psychologist for a while, and then I decided that it was way too much school. So I abandoned ship on that.
I didn't want to talk to depressed people all the time. That's ultimately why I didn't do it. But I think I'd be a good psychologist.
All right. Last question. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your younger self?
Don't put limitations on what you can do in life. And early on, write down your goals and get very succinct on your written goals. Fill your life with people that are at a higher level than you, because the people you associate with is probably the most important part of your success journey, both in happiness and in achievement. But if you associate with people that are lower than you, in terms of psychologically lower, I'm not saying financially lower, I'm saying psychologically lower than you, then you'll play to the team you join.
Amazing advice. I love that so much. Thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun, and I can't wait to dive into what you have to offer.
Thank you for having me, Heather. Can I leave your folks with just 2 small little items?
Please.
Okay, so this is my life's motto. First and foremost, everybody needs to embrace the fact that life is short. Life is for living. But if you embrace the fact that life is for living and life is short, it will change what you do and how you spend your time. Because at the end of the day, everything is irrelevant, but living your life to its fullest.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Thanks, John. That was so beautiful. Have a great day.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I hope that what you take away from this episode is that being successful really comes first from loving yourself, being grateful for what you have, and holding a vision for your future and taking steps towards what you want. Selling only becomes hard when we get in our heads about it and make up stories about what a sale or a non-sale means about us as humans. Build authentic relationships with people and know that what you're offering can help them reach their goals, and you will never have to worry about feeling like sales is gross ever again. It's also interesting to look at the energetics of selling from a customer's perspective. So keep your eyes and ears open while you're out shopping this holiday season and see what you notice. Since this is the time of year that we most think about giving thanks, I just want you to know how grateful I am to each and every one of you for tuning into my show each week. It means so much to me that you invite me to be a part of your world and trust me enough to spend some time listening to what I have to say. I promise you that I don't take any of it for granted. I feel incredibly blessed to be able to do this and to connect with you. Thanks so much for listening. Have a magical day. This podcast episode is brought to you by Prompts to Purpose, my free workbook that will help you stop spinning your wheels and start remembering your gifts. Inside, you'll find 25 journal prompts to get you thinking about things in a new way so that you can find your purpose and start living the life of your dreams. If you're ready to dive in, get on my email list by clicking on the link in the show notes or in my Instagram bio, and I'll send it over. Come on in and see what everyone is talking about.